Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Rat Style Review. Today we have Kate French from the band Vainglory. Hello, Kate.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, apparently everybody has a little bit of a delay because we're all talking all at the same time. But we'll make it work. We're here to talk about, you actually are reissuing the some of the Vainglory albums. Is that right?
Look at that. Yeah. So what happened is we were fortunate enough to get picked up by two new record labels. I have a record label. It's called Rebellion Records US. And I initially released both of these albums on that. And then we licensed them all over the world to different record labels and they paid us. And that's how, you know, we did it. Yeah. But I didn't have enough money here to do what I wanted to do. So these two labels picked us up from online metal promo. Benjamin Niebla connected us with them, and it's animatedinsanityrecords.com and nodustrecords.com. And it's Manifesting Destiny, which is the latest CD, and the one before it, which is Vainglory. Vainglory one's kind of a classic metal album, and the other's kind of more of a Pantera yelly screamy. So yeah, but it's a two-in-one.
Yeah. Heavier.
Yeah. It's a two-in-one. It's the thing that, you know, I mean, you try to kind of go with the times a little bit as a vocalist, and me especially too, but as a female vocalist, you're kind of trying to, this is my mind anyway, keep up with the guys, you know, type thing, and trying to do the heavier stuff. Mm. So the second one was a little heavier. And I feel like it's like, I had one guy say, man, I'd hate to be your husband. Because I'm like screaming all the fucking way through. You know, but he says, next one we do, and Corbin is my husband, my guitar. So he says, the next one we do, he wants to go back to the classic where I'm singing more and screaming a little bit less. But it's a 2-for-1 deal. Made it at sanityrecords.com and nodustrecords.com, and it's a fucking killer thing, something I couldn't do by myself. So it's booklet and it's two CDs for the price of one, and lucked out. So thank you, Benjamin Niebla and online metal promo, because without them, you know, we wouldn't be doing dick. So
I didn't know you get both albums by it.
You do. Wow, you do. It's a double. It's a double. Now, Vainglory actually was Vainglory before I was in the band, when I was in Chastain. Uh-huh. So, you know, I took Lever Leone's place for 10 years. Yeah. And I did three albums with Chastain. Meanwhile, Vainglory became, because of David Chastain, David and Corbin. David found Corbin. Corbin was soliciting his tapes, and they got together and said, what's a good name? And David Chastain said, how about Vainglory? And Corbin said, yeah. And then they did one album together with other people, and that was called 2050. So that was the first one. And then this is the next two albums that we did. So for like a 10-year span for the three. But and that's how I met my husband. I auditioned for Vainglory. I auditioned for the band, and I got the audition.
Oh, well, yes, I wonder how. What did you do?
Yes, I did. Get your ass. What?
What did you do in that audition?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you. I sang. No, really, really. The luck and the funny thing is that, you know, I have played or sang with a lot of virtuoso type people over the years, and David Chastain was my first real big one. I was signed in 94 through him, and I knew Leatherhead left, and I handed a demo tape to him at Foundations Forum, and I was like tripping over shit to try and get to him. He wanted me to fly out to Georgia to do 10 songs with him and to write with him and see what I could do and if I was bullshitting or not, or, you know, what we could do. And he never made one move on me, like never once. And thank you, God. I mean, he's total professional. There's nothing that ever happened. And I was scared, you know, because I was only 24 years old. I've never gone anywhere or flown. My first time flying, fly out to Atlanta, Georgia with him for 10 days alone. You know, and he gave me the contract, a 10-year contract with him. And then Corbin was a gentleman too. You know, I was married and I was in the process of getting a divorce, and he was together with someone. And then we just started talking and we just became great friends because I had some technology that I was working with. I do a lot of recording now, and I've been doing it for a long time. I recorded all my vocals, all myself, and did all my production for all the things that I've ever done. But I was asking him about this one a piece of equipment that I needed some, you know, advice on. What do I do here? What do I do there? And we just ended up kind of hitting it off, and it went from there. And then I said, you know, we gotta meet. So we met, and then, you know, and the rest is history. And then we bought a house here. And I mean, God walked us through everything, in my view, source, energy, whatever you want to call it, the powers that be. I always say, let me know if something's right or something's wrong. And I was guided here completely. It's like you have these things and, you know, you're like guided to be in certain places and things happen. And I did not expect to go from California to Georgia and have the fucking money to do it. It was like a bizarre miracle. We got a brand new house. You know, everything was good. And my ex-husband was happy. He was on tour. You know, Larry Howe, Vicious Rumors. Is my ex-husband. He's a drummer for Vicious Rumors. I don't know if you know who they are. But my son is
Larry years ago. I met Larry in like 1992.
Yeah, he's funny.
Morbid Sin opened for Vicious Rumors in Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah,
it was when Carl was still alive. It was the second album, Welcome to the Ball.
That's a fucking killer album. I loved, and as far as influences go, Vicious Rumors was such a huge influence. And it's just funny how my life has gone, because I would listen to these albums of these people way, way before I ever was auditioning and ever was doing anything. And Carl was one of my main influences, and I had a major crush on him too, but every girl did.
So fucking good, man. That poor guy.
Yeah, the funny thing about him is, he was in a band called Villain before he was in Vicious Rumors. And Villain was in the Modesto, which was a few miles away from where I was, 60, 70 miles away. And they auditioned me and I got the job. So after Carl left, I sang for a version of Villain, but it was called One Apple. So I sang songs off of the album that they did, and it was kind of a cult favorite, and I was forced to do that, and it brought me from being this vocalist here to fucking this vocalist, because they were fucking cracking the whip. They were like, no, fucking do that over again, you fucking suck. I was like, okay. So, you know, I mean, there was no mercy. Oh, your voice is out? Oh, cry me a river, shut the fuck up and sing. You know, there was no mercy. And that's good, because I learned and I grew from that. You know, I got so much better than I ever would have. So, and there's a lot of history, and I didn't know I'd end up with Larry. You know, Larry was kind of a jokester, and I wasn't somebody, but then we ended up being best friends, and then it just kind of went from there. I never really get together with someone because I'm like, oh, it's so attractive. It's like I always develop a good friendship, and then, you know, things happen. So it's a bond. I never really
that's
look
the way
at
to
someone.
Do it. That's the way to do it.
It is. And I wrote I have a new solo album too. I didn't tell you about that. I just started writing songs every 2 weeks, and it's called Depth Perception. And that's what that's about. And what we're talking about is looking deeper. And that's kind of what I've done all my life. I have a conversation with someone, develop a relationship with them, and then it just kind of builds into something. And if that happens, then that happens. But I've never, you know, loved anyone based on any kind of, you know, you have to be this or that. It's just kind of the connection that you get in the soul. So that's what depth perception is about. And I wrote that on myself from beginning to end, you know, and nice. I was proud of myself because I tried and I accomplished something and I have never done that, you know, didn't want help. And so Corbin did give me a couple songs and I wrote lyrics and rearranged them and did some stuff. But I'm doing it every year. That's my new thing. Every year I do a song every 2 weeks. From beginning to end, I start, do everything, production, mixing, everything.
That's great. All the,
yeah.
I can't believe, man, I don't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to, I barely knew how to get on the fucking the video here. But, yeah. You know, a lot of people, maybe people don't know, Kate, that you used to play bass and sing at the same time in Chastain.
Yeah.
So I did some guitar work for a little bit. I was going to do some stuff on tour. It wasn't bass, but I did some guitar stuff and I sucked when I went to go and play tour and I was trying to sing and play. And he was like, fuck, you fucking suck. No. So that was when we had our East Coast tour and I brought my guitar and he was like, no. And so I ended up just singing, you know, but I've done some stuff and I play rhythm guitar and I'm doing that actually right now. I've got my stuff up, I think, but I'm doing stuff over this pop song that I did. And I'm a rhythm guitar player. I'm not a lead player. I've never been a lead player.
Yeah, no, same here.
Yeah. So I write songs with guitar. I have a 12 string. I have the six string and then I've got my SG. I just got one. Oh, I had a couple guitars. It's somewhere behind me here. But I love playing and, you know, it's just so cool. The technology today, even though we talked about AI, how it can be a shit show. It's also, you know, the computer age is kind of neat because you can do so much more than you could have.
All right.
So it's got its pluses and its minuses as far as AI.
Double-edged sword. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Now, are you recording the instruments on your album?
Here.
You can, because you might as well just do the interview yourself.
What's that?
You might as well just do this whole thing by yourself.
I know. Huh? You know, I do a podcast, so.
Oh, you do?
I fucking talk.
Apparently.
Yeah.
What is your podcast?
Yeah. And I was a DJ. I was a radio DJ.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
cool.
I do that.
Very cool. Three radio DJs on one podcast here.
What's that?
No, I was just wondering, you grew up a musician. Did you start like playing piano or something when you were a kid?
Well, when I was real young, yeah, I got on the piano a little bit and I had a piano throughout my life. So I never formally learned the piano as far as the sheet music goes, but I told you before I learned baritone and I know, you know, some theory and musician and some stuff like that. But I always was drawn to music and always just musical and singing to things. So, you know, I don't know. It's just in me, you know, it's just something that is me, just like you, you know, if you feel that, you feel it and you just do it. And like, you'll hear a melody from anything. I mean, I make up songs for my horses, for my cats, for my,
me
for
too.
My
I
son.
Do my cats. I love my cat. For every cat.
I have so many songs for everything. And I just kind of, that just comes out of me. And it just has always been that way. And I really don't know why. It's just something that I naturally do. So, and I think all musicians and all people that love music do that too. So make little songs and things like that. So it's just something that I really enjoy. And it's too something that distracts me from shit. You know, when you go through life, it's, you know, stressful. We got our bills and our things that we have that aren't so great, but we really got to focus on the good stuff. So this kind of distracts you out of any kind of thing that's negative and takes you away from that, which I think is important to have that in your life.
Yeah. Now your vocal style isn't like of the typical woman. I mean, a lot of the metal female vocalists, they're like very operatic and stuff like that, but you're more of the grittier type, which I love. I think that's like, it's awesome. You know, I love your vocals. So was that like kind of what you wanted to sing like, or did that kind of just happen that way, or how? Because you do sing, you have like a softer voice on some songs, but for the most part you have the grittier stuff. So
yeah, she could do it all.
Right?
You could do it all. Was that intentional to be like that, you know, sounding that tough?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a few things that happened that triggered that. I think the first thing was when I was about 16. My boyfriend he brought home this tape, and he was like, oh, "I love these guys; they're so fucking great." Who the fuck is that? I was like, "I'm like, I want to hear some fucking Madonna," you know? He's like, "Metallica, they're from the Bay Area; they're the next big thing." I'm like, So I started to listen to them, and then I was like, damn, they're good. And then I got this power from that. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I would get that, listen to that in my car. And then that was one of the first things I just started singing along with that. And then I was always just kind of heavier, you know, a heavier singer. I was always very loud, much louder. And I come from not a chest voice. It just come from, it's very guttural. I just have this thing. I don't know. Feel it, do it. What happened, the point was, and this is funny how I say it always relates back to the past, my roommate papped in a tape from David Chastain, Leather Leone was singing, and he's like, check this out. And I was like, oh, and he's like, that's a chick. And I'm like, what? And at that point, I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm going, and you know, 10 years later, I'm fucking singing for Chastain. You know, I wish you would have had that kind of following 10 years later, and a producer and some money. But you know, I got in, and it's just kind of ironic that happens. So David Chastain and Leather Leone, I'm a huge fan. I mean, to this, yeah, to this day, I love her. I'm like, oh, you're so awesome.
Yeah, I got to get a picture with you next.
I'm a hardcore fan.
Now, because I'm a Chastain fan, seriously, from way back. So, you know, I love too. And when you came in the band, I was like, oh man, he's replacing Leather. And then you came in, you sounded fucking just like her. I was like, yeah, cool. You know? I wasn't too stressed on
the
new metal kind of style, but that was what was going on at the time. But on the third album, you guys kind of went back to the old school roots, you know, of Chastain a little bit more.
Yeah, see, now for Chastain, I was directed to do a lot of for him, what he wanted to do, and I wanted to kind of get into that to kind of get myself out there a little bit. And so he wrote a lot of the tunes, and what he did wasn't something that I necessarily would do. You know, I had to go with the flow of what he wanted to do, though. And there was no producer, there was no any money, no anything like that. He was like, here's the shit, go in the studio and sing it. And in hindsight, I wish I would have had what Leather had, like at Cotati, where they got lots of money behind them and they're going in and they've got a producer who's saying, that sucks, that rules, do this, do that. I didn't have any of that. I'm, 24 years old, you know, broke as shit, sitting in a studio, who's my friend's studio, by myself, manually punching myself in. And, you know, I'm not boo-hooing or anything, but I do wish, in hindsight, that I had someone who would have told me what the fuck I was doing, so I would have been a little bit better, you know, from the get-go.
You did great. You did great.
Thank you. But you know,
you were hot. I mean, too, I learned. Boy.
I learned a lot, and I think that's the most important thing. You know, if you're not fucking learning, you know, I always like that saying. You know, you teach someone to fish instead of just giving them a fucking fish. You know, you teach them, and so throughout the years, I've run a studio. And I've done all these technical things that, you know, other vocalists don't do. I mean, they don't go in usually and have to set everything up and get everything ready. So I knew how to do things, and now doing this, what I'm doing, you know, and it makes a difference. I'm not just someone that goes in and has someone push a button for me and say, sing. And no, I do all the shit by myself. So it taught me a lot, you know, and it taught me a lot. But I do wish I would have had someone there to go, you know, okay, this isn't, you know, let's do this. Cause I think it would have turned out a lot better. That's my dream. I want to have a really great producer. I really want to have Kip Winger.
All the producers, Kip Winger.
Ballerina.
I've got a crush on Kip Winger. I like Kip Winger. Yeah, I want to have him do some production, or Paul Taylor, or somebody that has had some you know, something in the industry, or someone. I would love to have someone listen to what I'm doing as I'm doing it and go, no, do this melody here. You know, and that's been my dream for a long time to have that. But if not, you know, fuck it. I got to do what I got to do, and I'll do it. And maybe that's not meant for me, but that's been my thing and what I've wanted to happen for a long time. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm speaking. I heard.
Stop talking. This isn't about you.
Okay.
The show is about
you. Shut the fuck up, Kate.
But I was watching a previous interview with you, and and you were talking about how you had to sell your car to buy the equipment to actually record your vocals. Yeah, tell us about that.
I did. Oh, so. Man. So it was, you know, shit or get off the pot. You either fucking, you know, you either jump and do what you got to do to make things happen, or you don't, nothing happens. Mm. So we were broke and, you know, I didn't have a way to record this album, and we were 90 miles away from the studio where I recorded. And the owner of the studio said, I'm going to recommend something to you. You need to get this thing called a VS-1680, which is a Roland. And that's the equipment I was talking about that I needed the advice from Corbin, because he had one. And it's $2,400, you know, but you can't come down here, obviously, because you got a baby. I had Trevor was maybe 2-3 years old, but you could do it in the house if you got this VS-1680. So I was like, okay. How the fuck am I going to come up with $2,400? Okay. Or however much it was. I was like, I got a car. I'm going to fucking sell my car. I don't care. And the car was a piece of shit anyway. You know, it was fucking up. But I just needed to get rid of it anyway. So I sold it, and I took a taxi to fucking Guitar Center, and they had a used VS-1680, and I plopped down that fucking money, and I took the fucking taxi home. I'm like, I'm doing an album. And I did In an Outrage on the 1680. So, And then I recorded it in my own, you know, in my bedroom, and I did it myself. And I just found a way, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I just make things happen. If you really want something, you make it happen. That's how I feel. If you really want, you just make it happen.
Yeah, that's dedication. Because a lot of people would have just given up, you know, they would have said, you know, I can't afford that. I'm done. No, I can't do this no more. But, you know, to see that you did that and stuck with it, and you're still doing it today is, you know, it's awesome.
Well, you know, if it's something you really, really want, you don't do that. You don't give up. There's no option. You know, you just do it. You just do what you got to do. And that's how I felt. There's always comes a turning point in your life where there's a fork in the road, and you have to either make something happen or, you know, or leave. And right. For what I want, I've always pursued it. So I'm hoping that, you know, this pursuit in music that I'm doing now with writing new stuff, it's going to get me to that next level. And I don't know what's going to happen from here, but you know, I've always, you know, you see it, something, an opportunity that's a positive opportunity, then I think that, you know, you got to take those opportunities and try to make them happen.
Yeah.
Maybe definitely. I'll do something on something. I don't know what's going to turn up, but it's so funny. And this album is actually called Manifesting Destiny. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I think about things. You know, you can kind of manifest shit by, you know, picturing it. Have you ever done that kind of thing where you think about something and then something presents itself in front of you and then it happens and then you take the opportunity? You know, I think that happens.
Yeah.
So
positive,
I do.
That's positive. Always think positive.
Definitely. And two, I mean, I can get into a whole fucking other esoteric, weird fucking shit thing because I'm trippy chick. But, you know, I mean, they say your energy around you and what you put off, you know, that kind of goes out into the world too. And it's so funny because I was, you know, doing my thing here and I was working on some of my own stuff and I was having these feelings when I was singing that were, you know, really connected, and I felt what I was singing. And then, you know, a week or two later, I remember, and Linda from Iron Maidens calls me, and she's like, Jim Petterick, the guy that wrote Eye of the Tiger, has this project for you if you want to do it. And I'm like, yeah. And he paid some good money for that shit. And I was broke as fuck. And it was a blessing.
So how did he find you? How did he?
I manifested that.
How did he contact? Like
through Linda McDonald of Iron Maidens.
Oh, okay, all right.
So Linda McDonald was, she was playing drums, and she had been hired to play drums on there. The album was called Tigress Women Who Rock the World. It's on Frontiers Records.
Okay, all right.
And so, it was something that he was doing, and Vixen was on there, and the girl from Jefferson Starship is on there, and Chloe Lowry from TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, is on there, and I'm on there, and I got to sing the title track.
Wow.
So, nice. You know, it wasn't necessarily something that I would do. It wasn't heavy metal. I was like the heaviest person on there, but I pulled the reins back a little for him, and I'd do anything, you know. I mean, that's fine. It doesn't matter. I've done country music. I've done metal. I've done pop, whatever. So it was just a neat opportunity. Jennifer Batten played guitar on it, on the songs. And then Abby Stahlschmidt, who is this killer violinist, played on there too. And, it was just a cool opportunity, and I totally and completely believe I manifested a lot of shit in my life. I mean, it's source energy, and it's this thing I connect with, and I just have been fortunate too. And I ask, and I pray, and I do all those things, and I've just been very fortunate. So, you know, it's been nice. It was nice to do that. It was nice to learn from him. He's won a Grammy, you know, you know, it was just nice to be a part of something and to get paid for something when, you know, fucking music, you don't get paid shit usually. You know?
Yeah. And I have an
extra kick that we did at a time.
I have about three bands and I haven't made a dime in any of them. So, yes, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. What bands?
Severed Angel, Project Resurrect, and I just a new band I have out now, Absalon, that I just joined. So, yeah, three. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are you singing? Are you playing guitar?
No, I played. I'm a drummer.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. Yep.
So my son's a drummer.
Oh, he is. All right. Cool.
And my ex-husband's a drummer. They're both amazing drummers. I love drummers.
Yeah. Some of us are all right. We're okay.
Dumped them, huh?
What's that?
I said you dumped them, huh?
What, my ex-husband?
I'm just fucking around.
No, tell me. No, let's fucking talk. Let's talk.
Let's get the dirt out.
What it was is that it really, really about Lair. He enjoyed touring a lot, and he didn't really enjoy being daddy and doing all that shit. He really didn't. And he enjoys, I'm just going to say this shit, because he likes to go and tour. And when he tours, he likes to do what he likes to do. You know what I mean? And it just wasn't conducive to Trevor and I. It wasn't conducive to a family thing. And there was a lot of shit that went on there. And so it was a blessing for both of us. He's still on tour this day. He still loves his thing. And, you know, in hindsight, it was just, I was kind of a pain in the ass to him and what he wanted to do. I think different people have different ways that they want to live and do their lives. And he's a vagabond guy who wants to go on tour and just fucking go wherever I may roam guy. And I get it. And I love him. He's a great person. He's funny as shit.
He's a nice guy, man. I've been friends with him on Facebook. Killer drummer too, man.
Killer drummer. Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. And my son is a killer drummer because of him and because of me. I mean, we did all we could to, you know, and he's never been out of my son's life. He's always been present, and I've always made sure that he's present in my son's life. Yeah, even though we're far away. I remember when we first kind of left, I used to fly back there like once a month, and that's a lot of money. And, so to make sure grew up with his dad and they had a lot. And I love Larry. Larry's a good guy, man. We still are friends. Cool. So in fact, I'm going to probably go see him soon. He's playing in South Carolina. I haven't seen him in a while, but I have no hard feelings against him, and I don't think he does me either. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, well,
that's awesome. That really is that you guys can stay. A lot of people can't do that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we were friends. It's when I left and I was here with Corbin. I flew back out and I was there for like a month, you know, we would go and visit for like a month, and I was still with Corbin and Larry, and I just wouldn't, you know, we were best friends. We were friends. We wouldn't touch each other or anything, but he got to see Trevor and spend time, and he and I were friends. So we'd go do stuff and hike and shit with Trevor. And there was no problem with that. It was just, you know, fine. He just didn't want me. He didn't want a relationship. He wanted to fuck. Okay. He wanted to go fucking, he wanted to go big girls. He wanted to, you know, get the fucking weasel wet or do whatever he wanted to fucking do. Let him do it. I don't care. I don't want that shit. Yeah. But I wanted one guy. I wanted one guy. I don't like the fucking multiple thing. And he does. And he probably still does. I mean, when he's going out, I see him. And that's kind of his way of doing it. You know, he's up on stage. Girls are like, ah, you know, and then he gets his whatever he needs out of that. And that's fine. You know?
Yeah.
He used to always say, he always said this to me. He says a couple of things. One of them are, sluts are people too.
I wish I could do that. The other one is
cast 1,000 lines. He used to say
I go up on stage and they throw tomatoes at me to girls.
But then you get off stage and there's always a chick there. It's a wiener fest.
throw an eggplant right at Bobby's face.
That only is a wiener fest.
There's not a whole lot
of women in metal.
Oh, there's plenty of women in metal. It's women all over the place.
Well, there are not more today
it's insane. Now, me and Bobby just did another show about a half hour ago with the new bass player for Merciful Fate. She's a woman, you know, and I would never thought a woman would be the new bass player in Merciful Fate. So it's,
who is she?
Becky Baldwin.
Becky, she's hot too.
Yeah, she's from the UK. No,
black.
Oh, okay. She's not the girl with the dreadlocks, is she?
No.
Okay, because there's
straight black hair.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know her at all. No, I know there was a girl with dreadlocks that was playing with Whitesnake, and I think she's looking for a gig. I don't know, but she's cute.
Totally different girl. Cute girl. But you work on your solo album. Are you?
And
doing...
I'm Strictly Dickly.
Good to know.
When I say cute girl, doesn't mean anything else. I've never. Anyway, just Strictly Dickly.
I never heard that. Have you heard that before? One? Stealing that.
Well, I don't think you want to steal that one.
Are you Strictly Dickly?
I'm actually, I told you guys, I just wrote a song called Sexual Chocolate. I thought people were going to think it's maybe about other things. So I had to like put this little bridge, which explained in the middle of what it's not about. But I'm kind of more on the, very into, you know, sexuality and femininity as far as a woman goes. I think there's a lot of people in this genre, whatever the fuck you want to say, that are a little bit more masculine. And I am not that, not even a fucking little. I like dick.
Good enough.
What?
I didn't hear that.
My husband's.
Yeah. With song titles like that, are you still staying within the metal genre with your solo album, or is this like some kind of different thing?
No. This is me trying to get Ariana Grande to sing my song so I can become a multimillionaire. This is me trying to get Britney Spears to have her next hit so I can retire. I'm fucking 54 years old. It's not about that anymore. It's not about me being a star. It's about somebody, you know, somebody that has some cash picking up a song and maybe, you know, it sells a million and then I don't have to worry about anything. So I'm kind of thinking along those lines now, but it's cool. You know, I'm learning. I have a couple of influences and a couple people like Diane Warren and who's the other guy? I can't remember offhand. Damien. I can't remember his name, but these people have written multiple songs that are hits, like all the Bon Jovi stuff, all the stuff, you know, so I'm trying to get into that niche where I can write a song and then somebody else does it. And then I make $1 million. And then, so I'm starting that. That's kind of the journey that I'm on. So this Sexual Chocolate song is very sexual. It's very, you know, it's just how women equate chocolate. You know, we have that craving for sex, and that's kind of what that is that sexual chocolate, you know, it's kind of equating the two because they say that the chemical that's in chocolate, it mimics sex, mimics love for women. Mm-hmm. So the funny thing about that is Eddie Murphy had a band that in Coming to America in his in the movie, and the band was called Sexual Chocolate. So I heard that, and I always remembered that name, and I thought that'd be kind of a cool hook to kind of, you know, juxtapose and kind of make them. So I always look for crafty things when I write a song. And I think those are the kind of songs that sell the most, you know, something where it's kind of a, you know, it's a twist on things. So that's what I'm doing is I'm a songwriter, basically. Yeah. That's my thing.
Yeah. You're like Jeff Waters from Annihilator does that. He's a ghostwriter. He writes stuff, pop, country. Yeah, man. He's a fucking amazing talent too. Yeah.
I do country. I do pop. I do, you know, metal. Metal is are not people that are looking for songs to write or to sing usually. Usually it's a pop artist or a country artist that's looking for a hit song. And then you, you know, solicit to Warner Chappell and then they sell or they, you know, see what artist wants to pick it up. So it's usually something like that. But with metal, generally, you know, people write their own stuff. So we're that kind of a, kind of a thing. I think everybody does their own.
Although I don't know.
So, you know, you kind of have to really have a love for it.
Right. Nope.
Although I don't know.
I make more money doing covers than in originals.
Yeah, but it's a love for it that we, you know, gravitate towards it for and the power, you know, the feeling we get when we do it. I think, you know, there's a feeling that you get when you play or when you, I don't know, it's that power thing and that strength. For me, it's always been a strength that it gives you, you know, metal really gives you when you need it, you know, it gives you that thing that's like, you know, rah! And I think we need that, you know.
That's like my wife. She listens to all that like folky type music and stuff like that. And we're always listening to mostly my stuff in the car. And then one of her songs comes on and I'm just like, I'm falling asleep in the car. I'm like, turn this shit off. I want metal back on.
Yeah.
You know, it's it just, right, because right. Like you said, it just gives you that energy. You know, it's like, wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to do coffee houses with my acoustic guitar before I did the last Chastain album. And I got so fucking sick of it. It was like, fuck. Because it's like, kumbaya, kumbaya. And then, you know, you just want to, you know, and it, and you can't do that when you're kumbaya on. So, yeah. You know, and some of the songs that I do now are like that. I try to, the depth perception idea was something that was more heartfelt and more deep, but I try to combine it and try to do a good dynamic. So you got some of the heavy stuff in there too. So you're not fucking falling asleep and bored as shit. So I try to give a little bit more dynamic, which I think there was more of the, you know, depthy songs in that last album. So I'm going to kind of focus on adding more of the metal and the more, you know, up, song. So I'm focusing on guitar this year and I'm playing better and being a better player and I'm getting there because, you know, I want to be able to, you know, really write some good guitar songs, heavy guitar songs, not just acoustic.
Yeah. What's going on, Vainglory? Are you working on another album or anything going on?
Yeah, we're working on another one. We're trying to make it along the lines of something that's more old school, though. We're kind of bringing back like old Yngwie type thing, you know, because Corbin, it's his band.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his focus is, I mean, earlier albums, he's a virtuoso player. I don't know.
Yeah, I can tell on the earlier albums, it's very guitar oriented on those, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he's killer. He got hired because, you know, Leviathan Records is where Gus G started. Gus G played for Ozzy, right?
Right.
So Gus G and Corbin were on the same record at the same time. And, you know, Chastain hired guitar virtuosos. Joe Stump is on Leviathan. I don't know if he's still, huh? I think he's playing for like Rainbow or some shit now. Joe Stump.
He's from New Jersey, I think, Joe Stump.
Yeah, he's in Boston. He's in Boston right now. He's teaching Boston. He's teaching at what's the big school, music school there? Is it Juilliard? What's the school in Boston? Music school? I can't remember, but he's a teacher there. So it's more, you know, we're going to focus more on the virtuoso, like Yngwie old school. So I'm a huge fan of Graham Bonnet. And, you know, I can do that kind of stuff like Island in the Sun and things like that. And all the Yngwie singers I fucking love. I actually handed Yngwie a tape of mine or a CD. And I was like, I'm going to sing for you someday. And then the security took me out. His wife was pissed. It was so fucking funny. But I made friends with Patrick, who was the drummer there.
You should have gave him a box of donuts.
I know, huh? No, he's good now, man. You know, he's kept up.
He
looks great. I love Yngwie. I
like him too. I have all his albums. His
showmanship.
It's just the donut.
Yeah, and I love his little arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love his act, his whole thing. When I went to Foundations Forum, I saw him being escorted on stage by this little Asian girl, and she sat him down, and he's about the show. And I love that, because I think that when you perform, that you need to be that, you know, you're an entertainer. And I think a lot of people forget that. So I really love him for that fact that he is that. And I fucking love him. I've always loved Yngwie. I think he's great.
Still rips too, man. He's fucking awesome. He lost a lot. He lost some of that weight, man.
He did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He looks great. He just did an interview with Rick Beato, who is here in Atlanta. And not too long ago, have you guys heard of Rick Beato?
No,
I think so.
He's a musician guy. He has a studio here. He interviews a lot of people. Who did he do? He did Pantera when they came through town, but he's on YouTube and he's got thousands and thousands of followers. But he's a good guy. I think he's from Jersey too. He's a good dude. He's old school, gray hair, just very professional, like Steely Dan guy in that era. But he really is based on like theory and musicianship, and it's really interesting to watch his interview. So Rick Beato on YouTube is great. Yeah.
How do you spell his name?
I don't know. Beaat. I'm not sure. Rick Beato. Is it Rick? Yeah, it's Rick. I'm not sure how to spell his name. I don't know, but you can find him. And you'll see, he's great. Yeah,
I'll check him out.
Very cool. We were talking about AI before.
He's a guitarist.
I have to do another short talk. But before we leave, we were talking about AI, and there was a couple of bands recently, Deicide and Pestilence. They just released album covers, and people saw the album covers and they instantly saw them and it's like, oh my god, they're AI. Fuck this band. I'm not listening to them anymore. I'm not going to buy their albums. It's so stupid to me.
Yeah.
In the music.
It is so fucking stupid.
I mean,
I fucking love AI. Fucking love it. Love it. You know why? Because when you go to do, an album cover, or you're going to go get pictures taken, you got to fucking spend a lot of money. You got to get your location. You got to get your lighting or your professional photographer or whatever you're going to do. You got to get, I mean, you spend bank. You got to set up the time. You got to get everybody fucking together. You got to do all the shit you got to do. And then you got to hire an artist and the artist has to render it. And then you don't fucking like the art. I mean, I've had that happen before. I hired Ken Brayfogle to do some stuff. And I spent $800 on that fucking shit. And he gives me back the fucking final copy. I was like, this fucking sucks dick. This is horrible. It was fucking horrible. And $800 later. So yeah. And for me, for women especially, you know, for me as a 54-year-old woman, fuck everybody. I don't fucking care. 54 years old, fuck them. You know, if I get it, I mean, Dora's having people draw pictures of her. It's the same fucking thing. If you get a picture done, you're retouching it with Photoshop. It's the same fucking thing. So why not just get your AI picture done in fucking 30 seconds and shut your fucking mouth? You know what I mean? Because what the fuck? It's still your face. It's still your image. It's still you. It's just the picture that you never would have gotten if you didn't use AI. And I've got some up on my Instagram right now. I fucking love it. It's like a fucking dream to me, because in my life, I've done photo shoot after photo shoot after photo shoot, and you end up with maybe one or two great pictures in a photo shoot. You know, that since I was 16 years old. And this is just like, wow, you know, it's incredible. And I would have had to, you know, slap on all the fucking makeup, do the fucking wig, or do right. the this or do the that, which I do. Women do that in this day and age. You know, Kim Kardashian, the main influences are people that change it up a lot. So, I know, but I think it's neat though for women too. I will tell you that I've been wearing wigs and doing fucking makeup and shit for my husband 4 years now, and he loves to have a different girl every fucking week. So I really envy Gaga and people that do it, and I love it. I love the fact that I'm not bleaching my hair or doing something. This is not, you know, this is me, but that I'm, I get to change up my look. And I think for women, that's cool. You know, I think it's something that is interesting for men too. When you get to see, you know, you wonder what your woman would look like with black hair. Or what would she look like with this? So she, you know, put that on, and then she comes out, and she's got her black hair, and you're like, oh,
you know. I put on wigs for my girl if she wanted it. I put wigs on. I put high heels on for her too.
Well, that's something else.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
Then you'd have a boyfriend.
That's a whole.
That's just
show.
Conjured up imagery. I don't.
That's another show.
That's another show. Yeah. But the AI thing, I mean, yeah. I understand what people hate about it, because AI, what it does is it takes images from other people's artwork and puts it all together into what you want it to be, you know? So they feel like those people that did that. But they are afraid of those people. Now that artwork's being stolen. Now they're not getting paid, and you know, you're getting all this stuff for free. And I get it, but. It is what it is. You know?
I've been fucked by many artists and photographers.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And a lot of people don't understand that.
And I do, you know, I think here's the thing is that people don't understand is for to each his fucking own.
Right.
Somebody wants to fucking do something, then they're going to let them do it. Right. I mean, I see girls with filters. And this, and they feel good about it. They feel good about themselves. They feel happy. And for a woman that to feel happy and to feel good about herself makes her life more fulfilled and happy. I'm gonna be like, great fucking picture. And there's these jealous fucks. There's Think these jealous fucking like bitches and fucking people that are like, oh, you can't do that because that's not as ugly as this or whatever. What the fuck? Go do it yourself if you want. But shut the fuck up. If somebody wants to do something, let them do it. It's the individual's choice, and I don't judge. You know, I'm not going to be like, here's the Karen police. I'm going to fucking judge you now. No.
Mm-mm. I go start talking to some broad on Facebook, and she looks like $1 million. And then you go to meet her, and she's, you know, come on, it's no good. No boy.
Well,
no.
She looks like $1 million, and then you get there, she looks like Bobby.
Years.
Sorry, Bob.
Yeah. See?
Well, the thing is different. If you're a secure relationship and you've been married for 20 years, and you're not interested in soliciting men, you're interested in your own self, then that's a big difference as opposed to someone that you're trying to. I think if I went on a dating app and I was a single girl and I was, you know, I would be very, you know, forthcoming and very much into what I needed to. But as far as pushing a product or selling or marketing yourself, you know, you need to do what you need to do to make that the best it can possibly be, because you're selling a product. So the fucking Glamour magazine isn't going to put some fucking untouched model or Sports Illustrated on their cover that looks like dog shit, because they're not going to sell any fucking magazines. You have to sell yourself. And so, you know, that's a big part. And that's just the way I feel as an individual. I don't judge others for what they want to do. It's okay if they don't like it. Fuck them. I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care.
The funny thing is,
I love it. And I, you know, I have regular pictures. I have pictures of me out with my horses. I have pictures of me with, you know, Snapchat filters or pictures with this or that. And I do what I want. You know, I have pictures of me at my son's high school graduation. I have them all up, but I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to fucking do. Nobody.
And that's the way it should be. The funny thing is,
the way it should be.
It is. And they bitch about all the AI artwork, but they forget that a lot of times, a lot of these bands are using fake fucking like plugins and all the shit on their guitars and everything. So that's fake too. So just shut the fuck up.
Yep, they're fucking hypocrites. Fucking hypocrites. Shut the fuck up. That's exactly right. I mean, I could go on. It's like, okay, so why do you have your beard? Why do you have this? Why do you have that? Why do you fucking take a shower? Why do you fucking blah, blah, fucking blah? It gets to be to the point of where it's like, just shut the fuck up and let everybody live the way they want to live and do what makes them happy. If they want to be happy and this makes them happy, if they want to eat this or do that, they want to smoke this or smoke that, you can't.
And no, if you don't like it, then don't. Up. If you don't like it, then don't listen to it or don't watch it, whatever. I think people forgot that, you know?
Yeah. So that's just across the board. It's just another judgment of somebody telling you what you can and can't do. And for me, that's like, whatever. I think you got to do you. And I think that's just the way it is.
That's
so
it.
People are gonna hate your fucking guts. It doesn't fucking matter whether you're fucking straight up princess, whatever. They're gonna hate you and they're gonna love you. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah,
do
you're
what you
right
want
about that. No matter what you do, there's always gonna be somebody who hates it. You know.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
exactly.
Right.
So you just gotta do you. That's my feeling. That's my rant.
I'm the same way. I'm the same exact way. All right. So if anybody wants to go buy the remastered Vainglory albums or anything that you do, where could they go?
So animatedinsanityrecords.com in the United States and nodustrecords.com in Europe. And they can buy it there. And it's two CDs. And it's a full booklet. And for my stuff, I didn't release it physically. My stuff is the Depth Perception album. And that is on every platform streaming. I did it under Rebellion Records US, which is my label. And so if they would just want to go to Spotify or any streaming platform, Kate French, it's my first solo album. And I did it so I had solo work, because I wanted somebody to click on something and see Kate French. Nobody else did my shit. I wrote it from beginning to end. Some of it sucks. Some of it's not great. Some of it's great. Some of you might hate it. You might love it. It doesn't fucking matter. It's something that I forced myself to do that I had to do to get better. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it every year. So every year I'll come out with a new album. And this one's Depth Perception. Just look up Kate French, any streaming platform. But this is physical. And we are very happy that Benjamin Niebla, let me get that right. I call him Benny Ben Ben. No, Benjamin Niebla, online metal promo. He's a fucking killer guy.
Yeah,
and he was a manager a long time ago. And we're so lucky to have him. And he helped us out with this. And so No Dust Records in Europe, nodustrecords.com, animatedinsanityrecords.com in the United States.
Yeah.
Oh!
Benjamin's a good guy. We use him for our band.
Me
stuff
and Benjamin
too,
so. Call each other Foo. Foo! Yo,
yeah. What's that?
Yeah, he said that to me too. He's a pain in my ass, though.
Yeah, he calls you
fool
too.
Yeah, of course.
What?
Ben, he's a pain in the ass.
Oh,
and if you're watching the show, go fuck yourself.
Foo.
Ben.
Oh.
Benjamin, you fool.
Benny Ben Ben. I called him that. He was like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But, he's a good guy.
Kate, thank you very much for coming on the show. I had a lot of fun. This was a very fun interview.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Anytime. Love to talk again. And if you guys need any promos, you know, I do voiceovers. We didn't even get into that. But I do imaging for radio stations and things like that. 107, blah, 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 blah. I can do that or whatever. I can do one. I do 30, I do it every day. So I do voiceovers for a living. So I'm with Tag Talent Agency. So I'm okay at it.
Very cool. I sent you a friend request on Facebook and Instagram, and I'll send you my band stuff too. So check it out. All right.
Right on. I would love to listen to it. Awesome.
Yeah, I think you'll
thank
like
you
it.
Guys. This has been fun.
Bye, all right. Kate.
All right. Again,
bye.
Thank you very much. Have
love
a good night.
You, love you.
And good
care.
Luck.
God bless
you. Too, honey. All right. Have a good
all right.
one.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.